Please turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. If you need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of the stewards will happily bring you a Bible over. It's on page 1049. And we're going to read from verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to a field, to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of God. Amen. Please turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Let's pray as we look there. Father God, we need your grace, not just to save us, not just to keep us, but we also need your grace to understand your word. Give us that grace and that mercy to hear your voice as you speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I returned home yesterday at lunchtime to look at the news to see another tragedy that had happened, this time in northern Kenya. Johnny mentioned a couple of others that had happened today, but in northern Kenya yesterday, a gang of terrorists stopped a bus. And they got everyone off the bus and separated people into different groups and then proceeded to shoot people on that bus. Those who tried to stop it or protest or interfere were themselves shot. I know it shouldn't shock me, because stuff like this seems to be happening more and more, and probably has for years. But there's times when you look at the news and think, has the world gone mad? What is this craziness? Have these people lost their minds? And in a very shocking way, actually, what we see there is a picture of lostness. Now, that might be at one very end of a long spectrum, but that's indeed what it is, lostness. And that lostness, that walking away from the Lord Jesus, that choosing to reject goodness, is so deep and so dark and so dangerous. It looks like insanity. And the truth is that every time we reject the Lord Jesus and his goodness and choose sin and choose darkness, to choose to move away from goodness and light, it's a form of insanity. Because choosing that path will only lead to misery and destruction, as we'll read about in tonight's passage. Now, if the story of the parable ended there, it'd be pretty miserable. The good news of this parable is that those guys who shot people on a bus, they can be forgiven. That's the shock of this parable. If they truly turn and ask for forgiveness in the Lord Jesus, those guys can be forgiven tonight. The people involved in the attacks that Johnny spoke about, as we prayed about it, they can be forgiven by the Lord Jesus. That's the good news of this parable we read of the two lost sons, not just one, two. Now, in a sense, we could close our Bibles and I could pray and we could go home, because that's a great message. But I know you'll feel shortchanged. So let's think a little bit more about this insanity of sin that we read about. Remember in the room who is listening to this story the Lord Jesus tells. Look back at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." There's two groups of people there in the room. There are tax collectors and sinners. Very non-religious people. People who live life as they see fit, who do what they want, and no one's going to tell them what to do. On the other side of the room, we have the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, very respectable, very religious. To all intents and purposes, people in their society looked at these Pharisees and thought, these are good people. And the two sons mentioned in the story relate to these two groups who are there listening to Jesus. Now we'll think about the Pharisees, the older brother, as it were, in a couple of weeks' time. They're just as lost as the younger son. And we'll get to that. But I think everyone who was in the room that day listening to Jesus tell this story would have been aware that the younger son that Jesus here talks about would have been the tax collectors and sinners. Those who were obviously lost. Those who had obviously turned their backs on the living God. And everyone would have looked upon these people as terribly sinful, terribly lost, without hope. Why are their lives like this younger son? Well, what does the younger son do in verse 12? The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. He goes to his father with a shocking request. The younger son's entitled to a third of the father's estate. The older brother would get two-thirds. That would be the inheritance that would come to him. But the shock is, you know, he's not willing to wait until his father's dead. He says, "I want my inheritance now. Actually, Dad, I'd prefer it if you were dead. I want what's coming to me right now, and I can do without you." Shocking request of this younger son. "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want your good things, but I don't want you. I like the things you've given me, but I don't want you, the giver." Here's a guy with a good dad who clearly loves him, who clearly wants the best for his son. And the son says, "Dad, I wish you were dead." Shocking there. Shock. And we're supposed to look at this young son and think, have you gone mad? What are you playing at? You've got a great dad who loves you, only wants the best for you. And you want to reject him and go off on your own. Are you mad? It's insanity of sin. And at this point, those people in the room who knew their Bibles would have known what's supposed to happen to shocking and rebellious sons. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Deuteronomy. It's on page 199. Page 199 in the church Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Look down at verse 18 of Deuteronomy 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. Surely the father is going to make an example of this stubborn and rebellious son. Surely there's not going to be any disgrace brought on the father. Surely he's going to do something about it. He can't let this just go unpunished. But he lets him go. He lets his son go. He lets him leave for a far and distant country. And the point that Jesus is making here, folks, is that this is exactly how all of us have treated the Lord Jesus. Make no bones about it. The father in this story is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus. Let's be really clear about that. And if you're here visiting this evening, if you've never heard this story before, the world was created by the Lord Jesus. This is his household. He's made everything in it. All the good things we have in this world are from the Lord Jesus. They are good gifts. He is the good father in the story. And just like the younger son, our natural request is to reject the Lord Jesus, to wander off and leave for a far country. We want to live independently of the Lord Jesus. We want to turn our backs and walk away. We want the good things that he's given us. We even think we've got a right to them. I've got a right to be happy. I've got a right to the good things of this world. But we don't want the Lord Jesus. We don't want to know him. We don't want to know what he thinks of us, of our lives. We have no desire to be close to him. And spiritually, we pack a bag and we leave. We turn our backs on him and we go our own way. Now, there's some big repercussions for that younger son. Look down at verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The father lets him go. The younger son goes off to the far and distant country, and he has a great time. He goes wild. There are parties and women and drinking, sex, all the pleasures that the society could afford him. And he can pay for it all. And there's no one there to tell him what to do. No one telling him what time he has to be in or to clean up or tidy up or do his homework or any of these things. He goes off and has a wild old time, burning through cash. His senses are maxed out day in, day out. He's never enjoyed life more. But where does it end up? Pigsty. It ends up in a pigsty. For many people in our land, the life that the younger son leads is the life that they lead. They just want to be happy. They just want to live for the moment. They just want all the pleasures and the happiness that the now brings. And they do that because they think that life right now is enjoyable. They're not thinking, well, that's such a hard life to lead. They're thinking, you know what, this is good fun at this moment in time. Right now, I feel the enjoyment and the pleasure these things bring. But if we choose to distance ourselves from the Lord Jesus, if we choose to turn our backs and go our own way, it leads to the misery and emptiness of the pigsty. Yes, these things might bring pleasure just for a moment, but ultimately they will never satisfy. And having burned through his cash and facing famine, this nice young Jewish lad ends up feeding unclean, stinking pigs, and he wants to eat their food. It's misery. It's misery. Sin in this story is not just the lifestyle of partying and sex and alcohol and all these things. It's rejecting the Father. It's rejecting the Lord Jesus and going his own way. It's setting out for a distant country and living as far from Jesus as possible. And while we might be happy for a little while with that, that will go. And while we might be satisfied right now, it won't last. There are always consequences to reckless living. Violence, broken hearts, broken lives, broken homes, debt, sickness, misery. I was reminded of a story from a friend this week about the footballer George Best. He was probably the first superstar footballer. Many of you will remember him from Northern Ireland. There's a story about him getting room service one day. And the hotel porter goes into his room. And there was George Best. And there was cash strewn all over the room. And there was a Miss World in the room with him. And there were bottles of champagne all over the place. And the porter said to George Best, "Mr. Best, where did it all go wrong?" Now that story's told, and people are sort of jokey about it, as if there would be anything wrong with that kind of lifestyle. George Best, he's got it all. But the story of George Best is one of unhappiness and broken relationships. And ultimately he died when his second liver packed up because of alcohol abuse. The young son thought he was living the dream, but he was miserable and headed for death. Perhaps you're here tonight and you think you're living the dream. All the pleasures this world can give you. Your senses getting maxed out. Perhaps you're here as a Christian tonight and you look at those friends that you've got who live like that and you think, you know what, it'd be good just for a little while to do that, to experience that. Look at the happiness they have. Look at the joy they get from these things. The Lord Jesus says here, it's madness. It's choosing your own destruction. Because if you don't feel the misery of it in this life, then there will be a day when you really will feel the misery of rejecting the Lord Jesus. The Bible is clear about that. There will be a day when the Lord Jesus returns. And he will judge men and women and their sinful lifestyles and the sin that they have committed. And if we have chosen to reject the Lord Jesus again and again and again, if we've chosen to wander away, far away into the far country to leave him behind, then we will face judgment, destruction, and hell. The insanity of sin is that when we choose to sin, we choose the path of destruction. We're bringing disaster down on our own heads when we choose to walk away from the Lord Jesus and choose the pleasures of sin instead. Now, it would be awful if the story came to a screeching halt, wouldn't it? And then the younger son starved to death. The end. Thankfully, it doesn't end there. Because if there's the insanity of sin, then there's the sanity of repentance. How does this terrible situation the young son finds himself in start to be resolved? The only sane thing to do, the only wise thing to do, he starts to see sense. He starts to see sense, and he takes action, and he heads home to his father. He repents. He repents. Now, our society wants to take a large baseball bat to that word repent and smash it around. But in the Bible, that word repent always means to turn around. And when it comes to our sins, it means to turn from living for those things and turning to live for the Lord Jesus, to trust in him. And look how it starts, verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death." He sees the depths of the misery that he's in because of sin. He gets his right mind. It starts in his head. He begins to realize that the penny drops. This is miserable. This is awful. And then in verse 18, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" Not only does he realize the depths of his misery, but he acknowledges that he is guilty. He acknowledges that he's a sinner. He acknowledges that he's sinned against heaven and against his father. He acknowledges that he is guilty, that he has wandered off, that he's been a fool. He deserves nothing but judgment. He's burned all his bridges. He acknowledges all of those things. That he has no right to go home and claim anything of his father. That all he can bring is his need of forgiveness. But that repentance doesn't just stop as a thought in his head. He doesn't just wake up one morning sober and make a firm promise to himself that next time he's going to do better. He's got to take action. And if we will truly repent, yes, it will start as a thought in our head, but we've got to take action as well. He's got to get up and go to his father. Look at verse 20, that's what it says. He gets up. He gets up and goes. He starts to walk back to his father. He's got to reject the life that he's been leading. Reject everything about it. Reject the sinful lifestyle. And go back home. Can I say this is the same pattern of repentance for all those who would come to know the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus? We need to come to our senses when it comes to sin. We have to realize the depth of the misery that sin takes us to. That we are calling destruction down on our heads. That we have wandered away. That we are guilty before heaven. That we deserve nothing but judgment. That we have no right or claim to be accepted by the Lord Jesus. And we have to leave that life of sin behind. That sinful lifestyle, those choices we've been making to reject the Lord Jesus and live for ourselves. We've got to make those hard calls and leave them behind if we truly want to repent. It will mean, or it may mean, ending harmful relationships if they're causing me to sin. It may mean I have to stop going to certain places if that's causing me to sin. In the west of Scotland, alcohol is a real problem. People drink to only really, it seems, to excess. Now, on the face of it, that might not be as big a problem down here in Enfield. But I'm certain within the confines of our nice homes,
There are times that we've drunk to excess and we enjoy it. And we have to turn from those sinful patterns. I have a friend who, before he was a Christian, was coming home from a party one night. And he got caught up in a fight. Let's just say my friend is now a convicted murderer. But while he was waiting to be sentenced, someone went to visit him in prison and told him about the Lord Jesus. And my friend accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And part of his repentance was to confess that, yes, he had done it. And my friend went to jail for a long time. But the uncomfortableness of his repentance was that he would turn from the sinful life that he had led with its crime. He admitted that he was guilty. He acknowledged that he'd done those things. They were out in the open. And he would leave them behind. He would get up and go and face the consequences. And that's the turnaround that Jesus is looking for. That's the scale of that leaving our sinful life behind when we turn to the Lord Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, this isn't just a one-time, one-off thing. Yes, the forgiveness that comes from the Lord Jesus when we become a Christian, we don't have to keep on going back to the cross. We've been forgiven, but we will keep on repenting day by day. We will keep on acknowledging that we have fallen short and we need his forgiveness. We will keep on fighting those battles to turn against our sinful desires and follow him. That's the sanity of repentance. It's the wisest thing to do, to move away from destruction, away from death, away from the judgment we're calling down on ourselves, and to go home. What did the young son find as he moved towards home? The shock of a welcome. Look back at verse 20. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. As the young son heads for home, as he's practicing his wee speech that he's going to say to his dad, I wonder what was going through his head. I wonder if he knew that passage in Deuteronomy. Am I going to get half bricks thrown at my head? What sort of punishment am I going to face? And in the distance, he sees this guy running towards him, wondering, who's that? It's his dad. And as we start out on the road of repentance, we notice that the Lord Jesus has been running down looking for us. He's been there. And he longs to welcome us. He's so happy. His dad gives him a great big kiss and a hug. And he's smothering him with his forgiveness. This huge bear hug of a, you know, that's going on. He's so happy. He's forgiving him so much. He doesn't even get a chance to go through his wee speech. The father cuts him off and puts, you know, the best robe and the best ring and the best sandals on his feet. And the father shouts out, you know, "Get out the roast beef. We're having a party. Get the party hats on. My son who was lost is found." No, my son who was dead is now alive again. What a picture of the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus wants us to understand tonight that all who will turn to him and ask for his forgiveness, all who will repent of their sins, all are welcome Every single person who will come to him will not be turned away. And he's running down the road looking for them. And he's going to embrace us. He forgives us. There's no evil. We don't need to twist his arm. We don't have to bribe him or pay him off. We don't have to rehearse a wee speech. If we will come and humbly admit our need, he will forgive us. He loves us so much. He wants us to come to him and be celebrated and be forgiven. I know how sinful Dougie Affleck has been down the years. I know that all I've ever deserved is punishment and destruction. But the Lord Jesus treats me as a treasured family member. He doesn't humiliate me. He doesn't bring it up again all those times I've wandered off. He forgives me. He loves me. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever you regret, whatever guilt is working on you tonight, Jesus says you're welcome. You can be forgiven. Come home. Come home. If you're weary, if you're a sinner, come home. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Now the Pharisees, I'm sure, were in the room thinking, how can these guys be forgiven? These younger sons, these tax collectors and sinners. How can someone like me standing here be forgiven? Let me tell you how the Lord Jesus does it. You see, the Father in this story bears all the cost of forgiveness. It's he that takes the hit for his estate. He takes the hit with his robe and his ring and his sandal and his fattened calf. He bears all the cost of forgiveness to welcome people back. It's the same with the Lord Jesus. He bears the cost of our forgiveness. You see, the Bible says as he dies on that cross, that Good Friday, as he suffers the punishment that my sins deserve, he's bearing my cost, he's bearing my sin, he's bearing my punishment. He's taking the hit so that I can be welcomed back. He's doing it all. That Good Friday, the full wrath of my sin was placed on him. Same for you. On the Lord Jesus. So that you could be welcomed back. And the Bible goes to great lengths to tell us that he rose again a few days later to prove that his death means sins really have been forgiven through his resurrection, through his coming back to life again. My sins have been paid for. The penalty has been paid. They've been dealt with. And because Jesus is alive, I know he's dealt with every single one. Isn't that good news? Yes is a great answer. It's great news. It's the good news of the gospel. That we who were once lost can now be found and are found. That we who were once dead are now alive. We've been given new life by the Lord Jesus because he has forgiven us and welcomed us with open arms. And he invites you tonight to come and be forgiven. I'm going to close in just a moment. But perhaps you're here and for the first time you've realized the depths of your sin, the insanity of your sin. Perhaps you've realized for the first time the need, the sanity of repentance. And the shock that you, yes, even you can be welcomed back by the Lord Jesus because of his death on a cross for you. I'm going to pray. And perhaps you want to pray as well. Perhaps silently you want to just echo the words that I'll be praying. And afterwards, Johnny or I would be delighted if he would come and speak to us. I've got this little booklet here that says, "How can I become a Christian?" Tonight you really can, even you. Even no matter where you've been or what you've done. If you'll come to the Lord Jesus and be forgiven. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you. I admit that I have wandered away and I need to come back. I repent. I admit my sins before you now. I admit that I'm a sinner who needs forgiveness, who needs to leave that sinful lifestyle behind. Please forgive me. Please welcome me now as a forgiven family member. In Jesus' name, amen.